Thanks for tuning in to the Sporting Goods. I am your sports guru, Steve Harden. We got a huge show on tap today. We talking hoops. You know who I got with me? Homegirl, co-host, Miss Mullins. What's good, Miss?
What's up, what's up, what's up?
We got a special in-studio guest today. A personal friend of mine. You know, since this show's been started, Miss, we've been heavy in the AAU.
Mm-hmm.
The good and the bad.
Yes.
We have somebody here who has a direct connection for us. Mr. George Howard, how you doing, sir?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for taking the time to come chop it up with us today. I'm gonna hear what you got going on. I know you got a lot of knowledge about this AAU thing. So I'm gonna pick your brain today.
That's okay.
That's good. We got a great show on tap today. We got top stories, all this NBA trade stuff that's going on. We talking about Perkins. We talking about Reggie Miller. We talking about college basketball. We got March Madness going on. My segment number one, what would Steve do? This week, I'm RG3, coach. That's when I put myself in the position of a player and decide what I would do if I was him. Good or bad situations. Sometimes I agree with him. Sometimes I don't. But we're going to see what RG3 got going on. I'm him today. And we got a special call-in studio interview with Gary Trent, Columbus' own. That's one of your guys, ain't it, Coach?
Yeah, that's one of my former players.
He calling in this week in Minnesota. It's a great timing, especially with KG getting transferred there, getting traded there. That's one of his former teammates. So I want to hear the buzz in Minnesota with Andrew Wiggins. And he got a son that's a top player in the state of Minnesota. So we're going to pick his brain and talk a little sports with him for a second. Mrs. High School Minute. We got Mrs. Minute today. We talking sports. Miss, what we got going on?
Well, because of the weather, there wasn't a lot going on. This is kind of a quiet period as far as transitioning from basketball. Most schools are getting ready for a state tournament, especially on the boys' side. Yeah. Few high schools nationally have already had girls' state championships.
It's that dead period.
That is kind of a dead period where people are getting ready. And locally, like I said, we're going to talk about what's going on local here in Ohio as far as gearing up for that state tournament and what teams to look for. But that's about it.
That's what's up. Let's get this thing going. Boy, the NBA trade line is jumping off the hook right now.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy the other day. It was some trades that jumped off that I was a little surprised about. But
what did you see you like?
Well, I think Oklahoma did a great job.
With
some. Yeah, I mean, you know, some people disagree with me, but
yeah, I see them losing. You know, they gave away Perk. Well, they lost Perkins, and they also lost Reggie Jackson. But I heard he was my sources say he was kind of that divided guy in the locker room. So they were kind of good to get rid of him. But they got four players. But I don't think for what they got, they did it won't really help them.
Yeah, I think it's going to help them quite a bit. I was surprised. I thought they may get the big fella out of New Jersey, but they decided to keep him.
Yeah.
But I think with the guy, the big boy they picked up from Utah, I think it's going to help them because they need that. They don't have a post presence in the middle, and Perkins was more of a stretch four. The one thing that they're going to miss about Perkins, he was very physical, very aggressive. He brought that mean, that toughness.
That's what Cleveland wanted.
Yeah, that's what Cleveland wanted. But hey, Cleveland's in good shape though. Don't underestimate Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, Cleveland is in very good shape. I think the GM may just get GM of the year for the moves that he made.
It's amazing how he goes from being a flop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fire your head coach and this is a disaster to possibly being the GM of the year.
Well, yeah, they made some great moves. They brought in exactly what they needed at every position. They got rid of a guy that really wasn't happy, and they brought in a big guy that has, since he's gotten there, has really
developed
and stepped up. They've got they brought in J.R. Smith, so he gives them that shooting.
Yeah. I didn't think he was going to fit in at first.
Well, you know, he came around LeBron, and LeBron just kind of told him. LeBron told him that. You're going to come in here and do it the way we want you to do it.
Yeah. So. They said Perkins came to Cleveland directly because of LeBron. He was recruited from LeBron. Come. Because he also had interest in Chicago, the Clippers. I think that would have been
Clippers,
good.
Yeah, with Doc Rivers, I think
that would have really been good for him. New Orleans, he could have been a good role model leader with Anthony Davis and the Spurs. I mean, how can you turn down the Spurs?
Well, you can turn. I mean, you know, it's,
it's the
I
Spurs.
Mean, you know what I mean? It's the Spurs.
But you know, it was really good the other day, and I thought that, you know, I thought Denver, you know, they picked up a you know, they got rid of some good people, and that I was surprised that they got rid of, you know, the people that they got rid of. But Portland also, you know, they picked, it was good for everybody. I just think it was good for everybody.
You know who I don't think. It hurt them, and it really wasn't their fault, the Miami Heat. With Chris Bosh being out for the season with this lung infection or whatever situation he got going on, our prayers are with him. He's done for the year. They really, I don't think they were looking for anything, and this kind of just fell in their lap.
Well, I mean, you know, they made a great they picked up the two brothers, the Dragic brothers, you know, and they traded Norris Cole, but I think that, you know, nobody was expecting that to happen with Bosh.
No, yeah. That, you know, and that's unfortunate, but that shows you how small a role sports is in life. Mm-hmm. You know, we put a lot of emphasis on sports, and it means a lot to a lot of people. I'm here talking to all these great listeners, and you here chopping it up with me because of sports. But let's not get it twisted. Life is very valuable, and we have to take care of ourselves.
Well, it is, and you never know when something like this is going to occur, and, you know, we just send our prayers out for him, and, you know, from what I understand this morning that
he's doing well.
He's going to make a full recovery,
yeah.
You know, and basketball is just, you know, it's just a gift that the Lord has given them to play, and but their life is more important. Most so basketball will be there, and if he never plays again, as long as his health is right,
he's
straight with money. So
exactly.
Yeah, you know. You think Ray Allen is coming back, Miss?
Nah.
He's giving a lot of... I thought he was going to come to Cleveland.
I thought he was, too. But that was towards the beginning of the season when I thought he was going to make that decision. With him,
it's starting to drag out.
It's starting to drag out now, and I think he's going to just kind of shut it down and end up leaving... You know,
I think that would
quietly.
Mess up, even with his experience and his championships, I think that would kind of mess up the chemistry. Because all he is a shooter.
Yeah.
You know, he really he's not going to play too much defense. His body won't let him. You know, he can spot up and give you pretty much what J.R. Smith is doing.
I don't think Cleveland needs him now.
Yeah.
I don't think Cleveland actually needs him right now. They have a couple shooters.
Yeah.
They have the young boy from Virginia that they brought back up that is going to help them a little bit. You got Mike Miller.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you don't need many minutes out of him.
I don't think they're going to need Ray right now. But there are some teams out there, though, that are trying to make a run that could use him.
I don't know if it, you know, waiting this long, I don't even think his heart is in it. Because if his heart was in it, he'd want to be out there developing relationships with the guys.
I think he'd have been back by now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
I think he'd have been back by now if that's something that he really, really
wants.
He
just needs to cut all this speculation and tell them I'm not coming back and keep it moving.
There it is.
March Madness. It's that time, miss.
Yes.
You already got your days requested?
I already got my vacation days planned.
Are you a big
for those first? Oh, for sure. For sure.
You big
for
March
years.
Madness coach?
Yes, I am.
You know, I know you got a lot of players.
Yeah, I speak with college coaches on a daily basis, and I've been speaking with a lot of them that are getting prepared for March Madness, and you know, it's getting that time now where they're getting ready to go into tournament play, and tournament play is just crazy. But now, what's really good about it is you have teams that are just fighting to win, you know, to be in.
Yeah,
you know whether they may not win their tournament,
but if they win
if they win a couple of these crucial games, they'll be in because, you know, you've got teams that are right bubble teams that are right there on the bubble. You know, Purdue's another one that's on the bubble. I talked to one of the coaches the other day, and you know he was just talking about they have to get a couple wins. They have to beat us. They have to beat the Buckeyes coming up, and there's a couple wins that they just have to get. You know, and if they don't get those wins, unless they win the Big Ten tournament, they're out. NIT.
Yeah.
You know, I know you can lose at any juncture of the career. But are we playing? Is everyone pretty much playing for second place because this is Kentucky's to lose?
I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that either. Yeah. I think Kentucky's beatable.
Yeah, I do too. I don't agree with that because, you know, I've been around this game for a long time, like you have. I've been coaching almost 30 years, and. And,
they look good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when they're on their game.
I tell people that
they look like a D-League.
Might be the best team that I've ever seen. But I would tell you this. to go undefeated
27-0 right now
in college basketball is a feat that is hard to do.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they've had some close games.
Yeah.
And every team you play, I don't care
who
it is,
trying to knock you out.
It's going to bring their A-plus game.
Yeah.
And when you get into the tournament, you got to be prepared.
Yeah.
But you know,
but they ain't played everybody now. There's some good teams out there.
Gonzaga
is the one that I think everybody is sleeping on right now.
You know what? I don't think they're sleeping on Gonzaga. I just think that they're doing what Gonzaga does.
Mm-hmm. When you play teams, there's certain teams that play a certain style of basketball. And Gonzaga is like the old Boston Celtics and those teams that run a certain style that Kentucky hasn't seen. And when you go up against that style, you have to move or switch on everything, defend everything, because they're going to run it until they get you. And they're going to run it to perfection. They're going to run them offenses to perfection. And they got people that can play inside, play outside. So they might match up well with them.
But they have to. But then they have to match up with Kentucky.
I'm talking about Kentucky.
Yeah. I mean, athletically,
they're not. But see, they have a very good coach.
Yeah.
So when you run up against these type of teams, they're going to be ready too, because what they're going to do is they're going to, you know, game preparation is everything.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So now, you know, Coach Cal, who's a good friend of mine, he's got to prepare now for this team, because this team is going to slow it down. They're going to play a half court offense.
Yep.
And you got to defend them, because if you don't defend them, you're in trouble.
But there's ways to speed up the game, of course. You know, traps, presses.
I mean, but that's just it. Gonzaga's going to force you into a half court.
But they're fundamentally
that's just
sound.
What they're
but
that's
if you get down, I mean, I'm not knocking Gonzaga. I like them. I think they're really a great, solid team. But once you get down, just say Kentucky comes out, they press. Now Gonzaga gets down. They got to do something other than this half court offense, because they can only score so many points at a time. You have to catch up. That's my point. If Kentucky uses their athletic ability, like when I was at Linden, we pressed for four quarters. You know, just the UNLV, we pressed, we trapped. So you get a lot of easy buckets. You get a lot of transition. Mm-hmm. You're constantly on the run, which seems that what Kentucky's doing. That once they get 10 and 12, 15 points ahead, you have to change your game. You have to change your game, or you're just constantly playing from behind.
Well, that's what happens with them now. They'll have teams that'll play them. And they'll stay in the game for the first half.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's just off of adrenaline.
Yeah. Yes.
Now you're going to halftime. You're going to halftime, and that adrenaline comes down now.
And you're
and
tired.
When they come out the second half, they end up beating them by 30 or 40 because they didn't warm down, and they don't have that, you know, that that Kentucky has. You know, but you got other teams out there now. You got Arizona.
Yeah.
Arizona's good. So you got some teams out there that – I don't know, man. When you get into that NCAA tournament, man, that's why they call it March Madness.
Man, because there's some sleepers that we're not even speaking on.
It's a whole
nobody knows.
I mean,
about.
Well, the thing is, the one thing I love about March Madness and the reason why I am so hyped about it is just because these teams go out there and they got nothing to lose. They know it's one and done. So you're going to put everything you got out there on that floor.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't, you know, like I said, some of those teams come in there thinking, oh, we got this because we got the number one, number two ranking in that bracket, but that number 16 was like, well, we ain't got nothing to lose, so we're going to play y'all.
Yeah, I'm excited about this one. I'm looking forward to it. I don't see it. I mean, I see Kentucky as a clear-cut favorite. It seems to me it's theirs to lose.
I think they can go in. I mean, they can
because
go in a tournament
the
thinking that, that yeah.
Even the games that were close to them were games that they controlled.
Yeah. I mean, I can see where people would think that just because, I mean, they're 25-0 right now.
27.
Are they 27-0 already?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, I can miss a couple games. It's the snow. It got my mind all cloudy. But, yeah, so the thing is, though, is that I think Kentucky's going to need to humble themselves going into this. I'm going to say that in a sense that go in there thinking that, I mean, of course you got the confidence and everything else like that. Don't get me wrong, because I don't like losing either. But you're going to have that confidence, but they're going to have to play.
Yeah.
And they ain't going to be able to go in there just because we Kentucky and think they're going to win.
Yeah. Well, we're going to wait and see. It's coming up. It'll be here, what is it, next week?
2 weeks.
2 weeks from now.
Yeah. The tournament begins. Selection is actually March 15th, and then the tournament begins on the 17th.
There we go.
First round.
About almost time to get your bracket.
Yes.
What will Steve do? Coach, you a football fan?
I love it.
I am RG3 today. Heisman Trophy winner from Baylor. went to D.C. Things ain't working around. They talking back to me. You know, he's having a lot of issues there. Mm-hmm. A lot of these issues, I think, are his own doing. If I would, if I was RG3, I would shut up and work. I would shut my social media brand down. See, what he's doing, what he's trying to do, I believe, is he's trying to build his brand. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, LeBron has a brand. You know, you're trying to build your brand. He's thinking outside of football. But a point that Magic Johnson made, and this is a basketball and a football comparison, if you have success on the field, on the court, your brand builds itself.
Yes.
So all this commercial time and, you know, he's arguing with fans on Twitter, on social media. I mean, come on, you're the head, you're the leading quarterback, the starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins. Have a little thicker skin.
You know, that's a touchy situation because, you know, from my understanding this week, you know, the problem that he has is he does run his mouth a little bit too much.
Yes.
And he's telling them, you know, what he wants, what he's not going to do, and what, you know, and that's where the problem comes in at. And from my understanding, they brought in a quarterback coach.
To work directly with
him. Just to work directly with him.
But they did that last year as well.
If this doesn't work, it's time to go. Because you did something your first year, but you ain't really done anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's recovered from that injury.
No, but I think that they need to change. They need to find out if he's healthy and let him go back to RG, you know, being who he really is.
Yeah.
The kind of player that he is. Because some players
I think
hard
he has
to change.
Talent. I think he has a lot of talent. He's the Heisman Trophy winner out of Baylor. First one ever. I think he has a lot of talent.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
How many Heisman Trophy quarterbacks have made it in the NFL?
Not very many.
Have been successful in the NFL.
Success counting as a championship trophy?
Just success.
You know, it can't be that many because it's not coming to me at the top of my head.
It's only one.
One.
Doug Flutie.
Yep.
But he had to take another route first.
Canada.
There is none. I mean, if you look back at the quarterbacks, and I went through this the other day with somebody. Matter of fact, I saw it on TV this week.
Okay.
And they were talking about all the Heisman Trophy quarterbacks.
Uh-huh.
And none of them have really made it in the NFL. Successful. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, to be the best... To be a Heisman Trophy.
If I'm a college quarterback, I don't want to win the Heisman.
No,
right.
To me, the Heisman is more of a individual award. You know, you can be the right quarterback in the right system and be the best player in college football because you can have the most success on
exactly,
the field.
Exactly.
But that success doesn't translate to running, for most instances, a pro-style offense.
I think there's going to be one, though.
You think?
I think Winston is going to be a very good
I am
very impressed with his combine.
I am hearing that his football IQ is of Peyton Manning-esque.
He's very good. he will be the first quarterback taken in the draft.
Yes.
I believe that.
Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, I was a little hesitant. I felt like everybody wanted to take him first in the beginning. But, you know, Mariota, they said he's a great interviewer. I'm not surprised. So that kind of pushed his stock up a little bit. But all I keep hearing about is his football IQ. His football IQ. It's hands down. It's his to lose. You know, they came out with some unflattering pictures. I know you saw that, Coach, with his gut hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
That really, you know.
Yeah, but he gained a few pounds after, you know, he went on the eating binge. And we all go through that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, but I tell you what, it ain't hanging out now. So
exactly.
If it was hanging out for a couple of months, it ain't out. It ain't hanging out now. And. You know, I think he's going to be all right.
RG3, I am you. Shut your social media down. Focus on playing the game. Develop better relationships with your teammates. Become a team player. Football is the ultimate team sport. Embrace that. Start laughing with these guys in the locker room. Develop the love for the game that you had when you started to play it. And have success, man. Because as soon as you stop having fun, you're going to stop having success. Coach, here we go. You on deck. You know, we got an interview with Gary Trent calling in. I know that's one of your former guys. So we're going to lead in with you. All Ohio AAU. Tell me about it.
Well, I'm sure most people are familiar with all Ohio basketball. We've been around going on 29 years.
Okay.
We're one of the top programs in the country.
Okay.
We currently have about 31 Division I basketball players right now.
Okay.
We've had such players as Jared Sullinger,
Sully,
Trey Burke, John Diebler, Aaron Kraft, J.D. Weatherspoon, Jordan Seibert, and we got, you know, a numerous amount of players right now that we can turn on the TV at any given time and watch our guys, which makes us proud.
Yeah.
We start from the third grade on up to the 12th grade.
Okay.
We're sponsored by Nike. We've been with Nike for 21 years. But what is most important to us is that our kids, they make it to where they're, you know, to college. You know, whether they're playing basketball, whether they're just going to school.
Okay.
Because first they're student athletes and they're basketball players second.
You've heard a lot of the negative comments from Kobe and other NBA players. I know you have about AAU.
Yeah, I hear that stuff all the time.
How do you feel about that? Coach Sullinger, you know, I know that's a man that you respect. Coach Sullinger, he said
that's my buddy.
He said he went through you. His sons played through you.
Yeah.
He said AAU is a necessary evil to get the big scholarships. I don't necessarily agree with that because I feel like, why can't you be a top player and still get a scholarship without AAU? Can you explain the
importance? Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking.
You're asking me, do you have to play AAU?
Coach Sullinger said it's a necessary evil. You need AAU to get the big scholarships.
I think you do because when you're in college coaches a lot of times cannot come out and watch you play when you're in high school because they play the same time you do.
Okay.
But when you're on that circuit, see what people don't understand, everything is not AAU. You have travel basketball, you have OYB, and then you have AAU.
Okay.
So your college coaches are not going to travel basketball. Your college coaches are not going to OYB. Your college coaches are going where the top talent is going to be. That's where they're going. So I give an example. In April, we have two tournaments where we play in front of every major college coach in the country. The whole month of July last year, and I'm glad that my wife is, you know, has a lot of patience with me because I was gone last year for 18 days. So, you know, and you're in front of college coaches for 18 days, sitting right around the gym watching your guys play. So here's a kid. I'll use Aaron Kraft. Perfect example. Aaron Kraft was not a starter for All Ohio. Aaron Kraft was a backup.
Uh-huh.
But Aaron Kraft, one of the kids got hurt. He had a great showing in Orlando, and Bruce Pearl offered him the same day out of Tennessee. You see, so that's how, if it wasn't for that, he might have got some smaller offers, but he wouldn't have gotten that big offer.
Do you as an AAU have a you have to have great relationships with high school coaches. It seems like you have to be, what happens when those relationships bump heads? Because I can see how that could be, kid, and you know, I have developed a greater relationship with him as far as dealing with him on a day-to-day basis and his academic.
But Steve, you know, if we keep it real, all high school coaches don't have great relationships with their kids.
Okay.
High school coaches understand that those kids are with us from March, April, May, June, July.
Uh-huh.
Okay, 5 months. And they understand that me and Jerry and our 17 coaches are relationships we have with college coaches. They also understand the relationships that we have with these kids and their parents. So some of them may not like it, but for the most part, they know they have to deal with it because sometimes we have more say-so in what they do, where they go, dealing with the college coaches than they do.
Is that fair?
It's not a matter of it being fair or not, but what it is,
you know,
is
like
I give Ohio
coach,
State for an example.
If I'm a coach, I don't mean to cut you off,
but
if I'm a coach, if I'm a high school coach and I have a nice player, you know, it seems like at any point I could be undermined. What happens if he comes to my, he lives in my district and I'm running the offense that I run and, you know, I'm running it, but an AAU coach is running another offense, and he thinks he should go to another school that runs that offense that he maybe get more exposure. You know what
I'm
saying?
Well, I don't agree with that. I don't think no AAU coach should do that. Okay. But what does happen is that sometimes kids are not happy at that school, and what we try to do, and I run into this a lot, is try to intervene and try to make that relationship better between that player and his coach.
Okay.
You see, now sometimes if a player, it's things happen all the time where players leave a school and the first person they blame is
the AAU
George
coach.
Howard, you know, because they're saying that I had something to do with him leaving the school, which I really don't. Now, every once in a while, I'll intervene and I'll do what's best for our guy. Because if our guy is not happy there and is bringing his game down here, that's not something we want. But it's up to the parent. So we can't, you know, I mean, the parent has the final say so. But it happens sometime, and, you know.
Gary Trent.
My guy.
Gary Trent.
What's going on, man?
What's good, man? Thanks for calling in. We got George Howard.
Oh, no problem.
We got George Howard and my co-host, Miss Mullins, in the studio with us.
Hey,
Gary, what's going on, man?
George, what's up, baby?
You, man. How's your son doing, man?
Man, my son killing him, man.
I know he is.
Tell us about him. Tell us what's going on with him. I hear he's the top player in Minnesota.
Nah, my son one of the top players in the nation. ESPN got him ranked in the top 20.
Excuse me.
he a sophomore right now. He's about 6'4", 200. Okay. Wearing a size 15 shoe, thinking he going to wear all my shoes all the time because I wear 16, thinking he's going to double them up with the socks.
So what advice are you giving him? Because, you know, you've been here. What advice are you giving him?
Man, everything. You know, I can't just pick no one thing to give your child advice on. You know what I'm saying? I'm giving you advice for life on the court, life off the court. You know, you at that age now with the female advice, you know, simple things like driving advice, you know what I'm saying? So there's no really one thing that I can give him. I'm just trying to pass every positive piece of knowledge and everything that I know of in life to make you successful and to make sure that you don't fall into certain traps. I'm passing all of that down to you.
I feel you. That's your son. You got to give him your all. We were just talking with
him. Man, I got four sons, so I got to make sure that I pass it on to him, right, so my three younger ones make sure they see the right example.
Yeah, I commend you. I commend you on that. We were just talking with Coach Howard about AAU basketball. You came up with through the AAU All-Ohio with Coach?
You know, I played a little bit of AAU, but I didn't play too much of it. You know, it wasn't as big back then when I was coming up, and, you know, I had a different upbringing as far as, you know, being homeless and things like that and dropping out of school. So during my summers, you know, I got invited to the Dave Crider All-American Camp in Cincinnati and certain camps like that, but I was in summer school trying to make up those classes so that I could graduate. So a lot of those recruiting camps and things like that I missed out on.
Yeah. Does your son play AAU?
My son played AAU from second grade to eighth grade with a team out of Indiana called the Indy Hoosiers. Uh-huh. We won three national titles between second grade and eighth grade. So, you know, we have been on that circuit, you know, coming in first place out of like 170 teams in America. And we did that three times. We won a back-to-back in fifth grade, sixth grade. But after that, really, once we got to eighth grade, we got away from AAU because the exposure camps is where it's at. You know, AAU is cool, but the EYBL, the Nike circuit, is where you go win the Peace Jam. You play in the Boo Williams tournament, and those are the tournaments where you show up to one of them tournaments, you'll have 300-400 college coaches at the Peace Jam in Louisville. You show up to the one in Atlanta, the Peace Jam, it'll be 300-400 college coaches. On the AAU circuit, it's not really any college coaches because the EYBL circuit, those tournaments are set up during the open recruiting times, whereas the AAU tournaments are during the times where most of the coaches are not allowed to be out recruiting, so the college coaches don't see you. They might get some film of your game, but the coaches want to see you play in person, and that's what the EYBL Nike circuit is all about.
What you think about that, Coach?
Oh, no, he's right on it. I met Gary a long time ago when Gary was a senior, I believe, in high school. And
he was a monster,
we
man.
Just took to each other, and I love Gary. Gary was became a big part of my life back then, and we had a lot of, you know, conversations, and You know,
used to have two teams. You had Jim on the older team,
right? And I had the dominating team with the young boys. But
had the old team with Jim, and then I was on the young team. So we was slapping everybody around the city. You had both firepower, the young school and the old school.
Yes, I did. But you know, the thing about the AAU, what I was explaining to them, Gary, was you have different types of summer basketball. And everybody calls it AAU, but it's not all AAU. You have travel basketball, and you have, you know, OYB down here, and I don't know what it is up there. But when you talk about, you know, your big-time tournaments, what Gary is referring to is where the college coaches are, what I was speaking to you earlier.
Okay.
They come out two weekends in April, and they're out the whole month of July.
Okay.
So they're only going to go where the big-time players are.
Yeah.
They're not just going to go to any tournaments anywhere. And so I can understand what Gary's talking about, where he said I kind of faded away from AAU, you know, from playing for a little while. But Gary, now you got to get him out there. Now it's time. Now, you know.
Oh yeah.
I heard you did the AAU thing
for many years, but once as I got older and I start, you know, Tyus Jones, who plays for Duke, you know, my son was his teammate,
right?
And I watched Tyus started playing varsity as an eighth grader,
right?
Just like my son did in Minnesota. You can play varsity basketball as an eighth grader if you got the talent.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I started learning about that EYBL, and I started seeing all the coaches, and I'm like, why would I take my son to an AAU tournament where it's only family and friends, or the same weekend I could take him over here and I get a chance for 400 Division I coaches to get a look at him?
Yeah.
Well, Gary, actually it starts this year for him, because now, you know, they your sophomores, your 16U now is going to be playing some EYBL tournaments. So
he played EYBL last year because he played up. So
he played with Howard Pulley, didn't he?
But he went to the Nike. He went to the Nike Top 100 last year. There was 85 sophomores and 15 freshmen.
Right, in St. Louis.
And my son was one of the 15 freshmen in America to go to the Nike 100.
Wow. Right, he was in St. Louis, wasn't he?
That's big.
Yeah,
that's big. Yep, I know offers are poured in pretty much. Anything you gonna give us?
Yeah, we got three offers already.
Wow.
Are you staying with Howard
Pulley? Minnesota. From Providence and Texas Tech. So you got one on the East, one in the Midwest, and one in the South. So, you know, playing on all of that, you know, a lot of schools, I mean, you know, a lot of schools be hitting them up. They have to call the high school coach, and then the high school coach has to text us and tell us to call the coach back. But at the end of this summer, you know, come July 1st, whatever grade you're in, you're considered the next grade. So my son told me last year at the Nike camp, like, come July 1st, at midnight, all of the sophomores are considered juniors, and everybody's phones start blowing up at midnight. So I'm sure that'll probably happen to him, but them 15 freshmen, they're not allowed to receive direct contact from any coaches yet.
Yes.
Gary, are you playing up this year, or are you going to play 16?
No, my son's going to play 17. He played 16 last year.
Okay. He playing with Howard Pulley?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. We'll see you.
You got a team down there in the EYBL?
Well, yeah, we got our 17s all Ohio. We got our 17s, and then we got our 16s, and so you know we'll be good. Like, last year we won our conference, so
okay.
You know, you'll see me at about three or four different places.
Yeah, you do travel. Hey, you in Minnesota right now, Gary?
Nope. Amazingly, man, on some bad news. My best friend from high school, the first person I met when I walked into Hamilton Township, you might have met him before with me, George, dark-skinned brother named Rufus, real silly guy.
Yeah.
He been diagnosed with level 4 pancreatic cancer, man, so I had to come home and see my brother, man.
I'm sorry.
So I just came home last night about 9 o'clock last night.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm over here at Lifetime working out right now. I'm about to go meet him for lunch and just, you know, catch up with him, and haven't seen him in a while, man, and... You know, just look at him and hug him, man. Because I've done a lot in life. I've been through a lot of ups and downs, good and bad. But I've never been in a situation where a doctor looked me in my face and told me, "You got less than 1 year to live." I don't know what to tell him. So all I can do is hug my brother, man.
Yeah, man. Our prayers is with you, man. And
Gary, what are you doing now?
Man, for the last couple of years, I've been working as a school as a behavior specialist in the city schools in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's kind of like where I worked at would be equivalent to like the east side of Columbus. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, it's East St. Paul, which is funny. So I've been doing that for the last couple of years. But then I got away from it because, you know, I was in a school building actually Monday through Friday, 8 to 4 every day. And I loved it. And I loved working with the children. I loved giving them hope. But it was a very negative job because I'm the guy that's got to call home every day and tell the parents, come get your kid from school. I'm the guy that had to tell you your son's been in a fight. I'm the one that makes the phone call to tell you that your son is being suspended, almost the role of an assistant principal. And I kind of didn't like the job because I was a negative guy. I was always calling with the bearer of bad news, and I didn't like that. You know, all my job every day, all I do is run around the school and put out fires, put out fights, suspend kids, remove kids from the classroom. And I love the job, and I love working with children, but I didn't like that side of it. I wanted to work with them to get them some hope and with them and tell them something that they can do to make themselves better. I don't me sending you home because you're a discipline problem, that's the worst thing for you because I know you ain't got nothing at home. I know you're like, I know why you acted like this at school because of the home life you have. So when I send you back to that mentality, it's not improving you for the next day. No. So I didn't like that side of it. So I kind of stepped back from it and just started doing it more on a consultant role where I can come in, be positive with the kids, say what I want to say. I ain't got to send you home. I ain't got to give your parents no bad news. Everything that I report to you, report to your parents, deal with you. All my interactions can be positive.
Yeah, okay. I got you, man.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Your homeboy, your former teammate, KG, headed back home.
Oh, man, yes. That's going to be too wild. Now that he done came back home, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. I might try to end up on the staff doing that next, George. So it just depends. You know, he's trying to get part ownership of the team.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be a big part of why he's coming back and get that buzz back. And like I told him anyway, man, this is your home. You know, you went to Chicago really for 1 year, maybe 9 months for your senior year of high school, but Minnesota raised you. You know, you came here at 18 years old, and you was there for too many years. So, you know, this is where it all started for you.
You think what type of impact you have with the, you know, they got a Minnesota got a lot going on down there with Wiggins. I hate it. I understood why Cleveland had to get rid of him, but I hated it because I see a lot of talent in him.
Well, at the end of the day, I think the impact he's going to make is going to be more on the franchise, more on the culture, and more on the future for a guy like Wiggins to say, look, this is how you need to be dressed. If you're going to be the face of a franchise and you're going to be one of the elite players in the league, this is how you need to be looking when you're stepping up to the podium. This is how you need to be talking. Don't be up there with the we ain't us and, you know, all that non-articulate conversation. And this is how you need to conduct yourself. And, you know, this is how you need to be a leader in the locker room. Just, I'm sure, you know, basketball comes easy to us because we want to go out and play. We want to run and jump. And, you know, when you're gifted, it's going to make you successful over the next guy. But there's more to it as far as fulfilling that role of a franchise face, and I think that's where Kev is going to be crucial and more beneficial for those guys than off the court.
Because, you know, Kevin Garnett didn't get into a lot of trouble.
No trouble off the court.
Yeah,
maybe
just
a couple little emotional outbursts or passion on the court, but I don't know anybody that's been intense about the game of basketball that's never been in a shoving match or got a technical or had a few words. Even coaches get a technical and have a few words. Yeah. You ain't even in the game, you know?
And so, he's been in the league. Nah,
other than that, you know, he ain't been in no trouble catching no cases out here with no guns and no smoke of weed, all that silly stuff all these guys are getting in trouble with.
Yeah, that's going to be amazing. I know you, it's going to make you think about coming out of retirement too, shouldn't it?
Man, listen, I'm retired. I'm so far off into retirement. Listen, if you go to YouTube and you type my name in, don't even none of my highlights come up. Everything is my son now. I'm so far in retirement. My name don't even exist on the internet no more.
Hey, let me ask you this real quick. Have you heard from the Buckeyes at all?
Bring him home.
Yeah. Jeff Bowles will be coming down to he came down to a game about 3 weeks ago. He calls my son. He talks to my son. You know what I'm saying? You know, Jeff Bowles is my college teammate and my mentor at OU.
Have you talked with your son about, you know, coming back home, maybe being a Buckeye in front of friends and family? And, you know, have you guys ever talked about that?
We've talked about all the aspects of it. I've talked to him about the good of it, the bad of it. You know, coming home, that would be the ultimate open arms. This is your hometown. This is where you was born. This is where you was raised at till you was 10 years old. This is where most 90% of your family is, you know, so there's the super positive of that. But then there's also that when you come back home around that family,
Same thing, you bring
these people out the woodwork that haven't seen you in 10 years, that want to hug you, that want to be a part of you, that want tickets, and, you know, if you go to the league, gonna want money. So, you know, we talk about the balance of it all. What's good for you and all of that.
Here's the one thing about that. He only gets an X number amount of tickets every game, so it doesn't matter who comes out the room.
Hey, man.
But yeah, we done talked about a lot of that, man. You know, we talk about all the schools because in all actuality, there's 300 Division I schools, but there's really only about 7 or 8 schools my son want to play for anyway. And there's really only probably 10 programs that's really worthy to say they're real basketball programs.
Exactly.
Like, right. You know, like Duke's a real basketball program, Syracuse, you know, Ohio State. There's certain schools where if you say you went to Kentucky to play football, people are going to look at you like, huh? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I want my son to play at a real basketball school, whether it be in Ohio State or a school with that type of balance. I don't want you to go to a football school to play basketball. You know,
exactly.
When you look at they play football in North Carolina, it was like, eh. You know
that recruiting process is something that is unbelievable. And, you know, I've been doing this a long time, man, and we have a lot of guys in college right now. But, you know, I always felt, and I still feel to this day, that you should have played at Ohio State. But, you know, when they sat up and told me that
Gary could have played football at Ohio State.
They told me that Gary needed to get out of Columbus. And then after Gary was at OU, which Gary was faithful to Coach Hunter because Coach Hunter stuck with Gary when everybody else dropped off because they thought he was going to be ineligible. You remember that, Gary?
Yes. Honestly, Ohio State, first off, never, ever, ever recruited me. I never got a letter or anything from Ohio State.
I know it.
And I don't fault them, but here's why. At that point in time, you had Tony Watson, you know what I'm saying, who was already a year ahead of me, so they already had the kind of center position covered. Then you brought Greg Simpson in, who was an All-American guard. But then they got Charles Killer Macon, who was Mr. Basketball in Indiana, mm-hmm. and who was a power forward, and he was an All-American, I think, third team. So if you look at the paperwork and you say, do we take all Ohio Gary Trent or do we take All-American Charles Macon, most coaches are going to go with the All-American because when this ESPN run your stats, that makes your recruiting class look better.
Yeah.
So I understood why they took Charles, you know what I'm saying? I never took it personal or anything like that. But, you know, from a standpoint, if I was recruiting and I could take an All-State or All-American, I'm going to take an All-American as well.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, I went through that recruiting process with you, man. And you know what happened to that team that they brought in, and we ain't going to even talk about that.
Listen, honestly, the best thing that happened was I was not a part of that team because, you know, we were all young. And, you know, me, Greg, and, you know, Charles, a lot of us carried that same dysfunctional mentality with us at that time as 17, 18-year-old kids because I talked to Greg a lot. And I run into Greg, you know, when I'm home in the city and whatnot. And you could tell he's matured a lot. And, you know, everybody would always go back and change things if they could. But, you know, it's hard for you to live a certain way and carry on a certain way when at 17, 18 years old, nobody taught you.
Yeah.
You know, my mom was strung out on crack. I didn't live with her. My aunt was strung out on crack. She took custody of me. My father was in jail serving a life sentence. So there was nobody to raise me or teach me how to carry on and conduct myself. So some of those mistakes that we made as kids, they were irreversible because we made too big of a mistake for anybody to be able to reach back and grab us after certain incidents. But you can't fault us as children because nobody taught us.
Yeah. Right. Gary, I want to thank you for taking the time to call us, man. You know,
I want to thank y'all for even hollering at me.
Man, you are a part of the Sporting Goods family. And I
appreciate that.
We keep you in our prayers for your homeboy. Let him know we praying with him. It ain't over yet. Let everybody know all your social media, how they can stay in contact with you.
Man, I got a Facebook under Gary Trent. I got an Instagram under Gary Trent. I ain't hiding from nobody. You know what I'm saying? I've always been accessible.
Thank you so much, man. You stay in contact with us.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
I appreciate it, man. Y'all got my number. Hit me up anytime.
How long are you home?
Hey, George. Our state championships playoffs is about to start next week in Minnesota, so maybe in a week or two, man, hit me up and put my son on the air. Y'all can holler at him.
You got that. You got that. I'd love to do that.
That'll work. I appreciate it, man. I'll be in touch with y'all after the tournament is over.
All right, thanks so much.
All right, Gary.
Gary Trent, one of my favorites, man. I like Gary.
Well, you know, Gary was I was kind of a mentor to Gary his senior year and throughout his 4 years at OU, and I handled all his recruiting,
mm-hmm.
and so I went through that with him,
mm-hmm.
and that's where how our relationship
started.
I
was in BG when Gary was at OU, and I used to watch him come down there, man, and he hang on the rim.
Wow.
One more question for you, Coach. Do AAU coaches get paid? And should they?
Should they? I would say
that's a fine line.
It's a fine line, but what I would say is that I think that your top programs, and I think what they're doing I think they are doing this, but, you know, the coaches shouldn't have to pay for anything. And I think that
you're talking about the AAU coaches.
Yeah, your head coach.
As far as expenses, traveling expenses, that type of thing. Yes.
Yeah. I don't think that they should have to.
Now, the issue that I know I've seen with AAU, and of course this is on the girls' side of AAU, and I've heard it some from the boys' side too, is there are a lot of programs popping up. And a lot of people do think it's all about the money.
Yes.
That they pop up. Of course, with All Ohio, I know All Ohio. My daughter plays for All Ohio on the girls' side and everything else like that. Very reputable.
I've heard of organizations where you can't even talk to the player until you smooth over, grease the AAU coach's hands.
It's not like that in our program. And I'll tell you what, you know, there are some AAU teams out here. There are some travel teams and stuff out here that overcharge. But in our program, we do it differently than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And we started this 4 or 5 years ago. Our top teams now, when you play for our 15, 16, or 17 mm-hmm. top team, your kid doesn't pay for nothing.
Okay.
Everything is paid for. Mm-hmm. But now your other teams, yes, they have to pay. But the way that we do it is if your son played for one of our other teams, mm-hmm. and you was going to a tournament next week that it was $450 entry fee to get in that tournament, well, we would divide it up, and you might have to pay $40 for that week.
Oh, yeah. Through the team.
So,
yeah.
Right. So everybody has to pay $40, and that pays for the fee.
Now, you
pay your own hotel and everything like that. But we started doing that because instead of us saying, well, you got to give us $600, and then what a lot of teams don't do, and I've tried to help a lot of programs, teams, I say, well, listen, when you have your team meeting, parents meeting at the beginning, give them a sheet, and on that sheet have every expense broken down on
so
why,
they see it.
And a lot of times that's just it. A lot of it's a lot of hidden fees that you find out about, and a lot of people don't understand that. And the thing is also, it's unfortunate that there are a lot of kids out there who have the talent, who want to play AAU and have that dedication, but parents who can't
afford it.
Yeah.
But you can afford $40 for that week.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah,
you
right.
see what I mean?
I mean, that's just it. And that's the difference. But, you know, like I said, I've known people to pay $600-$700, and that's just the fee that you're paying. And
then My son plays football.
Like I said, that's just the fee for AAU. And then parents still have to pay, of course, hotel, that type of thing, for those tournaments, for the travel expenses and everything else like that. And then that's only through May. And that's just it, because then in the month of July, you have additional fees.
What it is, to be honest,
for those elite tournaments and everything like that. So
AAU is very expensive for parents.
It is.
It's very expensive because, you know, you have, you know, if you think about it, if your son is playing in our program and they travel the way we travel
mm-hmm.
with our upper teams, you're out of town every weekend in the month of April and May July.
Yep.
So you got hotel, you got gas, you've got food. And mm-hmm. if you have kids, it's even more expensive. So it's very expensive. But at the same time, I'll give an example. I have two sons that are sophomores.
Mm-hmm.
They're good basketball players, but they're football players.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't put a lot, even though, you know, I'm blessed to be where I am in the position I am with my program, where they may not have to pay certain things at all. But I don't emphasize you traveling all the time. It's not even, because they're not no elite players.
Yeah,
exactly.
I put them on one of our teams that are more local so they can play to have fun.
And that's what I had tried to encourage some of the girls, you know, because when it comes to with my daughter, I had to have a couple of conversations with her when it comes to, I do see it as an investment with her when it comes to that, because she is one of the better players and everything else like that. So I had to look at it as the investment, because I honestly, because you do need to be at those tournaments. As he said, when it comes to college coaches, that type of thing, I always tell people, I'm trying to go send my children to the University of Free.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, you do need that exposure and everything else like that when you try to get to that level. And I see it as an investment. On my son's side, he's a football player.
Yeah, really.
I'm not investing a bunch of money into AAU basketball, you know, that type of thing, when I know
it ain't going to last.
You know, that's not going to last. So you do have to, I mean, and that's some parents that, you know, who think about the expenses, because it is an expense. I do miss those hotel discounts I used to get. But
Mrs. Minute, we talking about
Mrs.
it?
Mrs. Minute. Like I said, this is kind of a dead season. Well, I'm going to say a dead season. This is kind of a dead period when it comes to most teams are gearing up for their state tournaments. This was the last week of regular season for Ohio basketball. Brackets are already up. And they start that first week in March. Girls tournament actually starts on Monday.
Who's the favorite?
Honestly, I haven't looked at the state. So I'm going to have to do a little research. You know me. I go to games just to be going to games. I don't have to know anybody there.
You got a lot of players out here, Coach, in this big tournament?
Yeah, we do. And I'm excited about it. And I would love to come back and talk high school basketball with you.
Oh, yes.
Couple
oh,
of
yes.
Weeks,
you can do that.
You have some powerhouse teams here. And it's going to be exciting, but, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah, I think Central Ohio is definitely going to represent when it comes to the tournament on the boys and the girls side.
And me and Miss talk about it a lot, Coach. You know, she says it's only so far that exposure, like our kids in Ohio, they won't never be 1 and 2 in the nation because of the regulations.
Well, not in Ohio. There's awesome teams in Ohio Columbus, that get Columbus, that national
in Columbus,
exposure.
In Columbus. Yeah, you're right. In Columbus because of travel regulations. So we won't be able to go to major tournaments and just say Florida and Texas and play top 3 or 4 teams because of our travel restrictions.
Well, that's changed a little bit. You can do that. You get
you get one game, I think it is.
Well, no, you're allowed an X number amount of games.
Okay.
So you have teams like Northland. You have some other teams that go to tournaments out of town. Mm-hmm. So now you're able to do that. You just have to fit it in. Your AD has to make sure that your number of games does not exceed. So say, for example, you go to a tournament where you could play 3 or 4 games. Mm-hmm. So you have to say, okay, it's going to be 4 games because you want to say, I'm going to play 4 games.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you don't want to you can't overdo it because you're only allowed to play an X number amount of games.
Per year.
Per OHA, you know, Ohio High School Athletic Association.
And then with City League, since we already have that set schedule within the City League games, you just have so many games outside of that.
Yeah.
But when you come to the prep schools, they set their own schedule. They don't have, you know...
No.
So, like I said, it's possibility and everything else like that. I know a lot of times it just comes down to expense.
Yeah, you know,
when it comes to those bigger tournaments
because
and everything
else like
that.
Because it's somewhat like AAU because it's expensive for travel, hotel.
Well, first of all, you're not going to get invited to no tournaments if you don't have no big-time players.
Exactly.
Only time you're going to get invited to tournaments is if you have big-time players.
Yeah.
So I'll give an example. Next year, Gahanna's being invited to a couple of big tournaments because
I heard about that.
They have Nick Ward and Matt Moyer. So when you have big-time players, you get invited to big-time tournaments.
So just a regular program that might be a consistent middle tier, you know, but want to travel, they're not even going to get invited.
A big name. You got to have a name.
Wow.
Got to have a name. Got to have that recognition.
I guess that pretty much answered it for itself.
Yeah.
Hey, Coach, I really want to thank you for taking the time out, coming to talk with us. And we're going to have you back in after these tournaments to talk sports with us again.
Hey, I appreciate it very much, man. It's good to see you. I remember back in the day, man, you was a heck of a ball player, man. That team, y'all should have won the state.
Yes.
You know. But I appreciate it, man. And the high school tournament is starting, man. And if you need me to come on and talk about it,
most definitely.
I think that would be something that everybody would like to hear about what's going on every week and the upsets and things like that.
That'd be great. That'd be great. You can call in, you can come in, you can do whatever. Let everybody know where they can get you on social media.
Well, I'm on Facebook, but you can reach me on Twitter at George Howard, you know, Coach Howard, George, Coach Howard at George Howard. And I'm not on there a whole lot, though. But
All Ohio Basketball. How can they reach
if you want to know more about our program, just go to allohiobasketball1986.com. That's allohiobasketball1986.com. And if you need any questions on our tryouts for all of our teams, you can reach me at 614-749-0136. Or you can reach Jerry Watson at 614-561-4910.
Jerry Watson should have been in here with us.
Yeah, I told him. I don't know where he was, but I'm sure he'll come back.
Yeah, no problem. Miss Mullins.
All right. You can reach me, of course, on Facebook at Miss Mullins. I am the only Miss Mullins on Facebook.
M-I-S-S.
You
can also,
M-I-S-S. That is my first name. You can also reach me on Twitter. I now have a Twitter account. It's at Miss Mullins. And then you can also reach me with my foundation email if you want to talk about something personal. It's yellowskyfoundation@gmail.com. Like I said, we're still working on that. I actually have a speaking engagement coming up.
Ooh.
At Ohio Dominican on March 7th. It's on Saturday morning. It is a free event, and we'll talk about that more next week.
Cool.
So everybody can come out and support.
And I am Steve Hartley, your sports guru. Follow me. Twitter, your sports guru. Facebook, your sports guru. You can hit me email, guru@thesportinggoods.com. And I want to thank you for taking the time out to listen to us today. Appreciate you. Same time next week.